Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, by William Shakespeare. Unabridged narration by B.J. Harrison. This is the audiobook version of the play Hamlet, and contains the entire Shakespearean text, with various additions to give it the feel of an audiobook. The intent of these additions is merely to aid the listener in discerning who is speaking in the scene. Each act begins with an introduction by Charles and Mary Lamb. And now, Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, by William Shakespeare. Prologue to Act 1 of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark. Written by Charles and Mary Lamb. Gertrude, Queen of Denmark, becoming a widow by the sudden death of King Hamlet, in less than 2 months after his death, married his brother Claudius, which was noted by all people at the time for a strange act of indiscretion or unfeelingness or worse. For this Claudius did no way resemble her late husband in the qualities of his person or his mind, but was as contemptible in outward appearance as he was base and unworthy in disposition, and suspicions did not fail to arise in the minds of some that he had privately made away with his brother, the late king, with a view of marrying his widow and ascending the throne of Denmark, to the exclusion of young Hamlet, the son of the buried king and lawful successor to the throne. But upon no one did this unadvised action of the queen make such an impression as upon this young prince, who loved and venerated the memory of his dead father almost to idolatry, and, being of a nice sense of honour and a most exquisite practiser of propriety himself, did sorely take to heart this unworthy conduct of his mother Gertrude, insomuch that between grief for his father's death and shame for his mother's marriage, this young prince was overclouded with a deep melancholy, and lost all his mirth and all his good looks. All his customary pleasure in books forsook him. His princely exercises and sports, proper to his youth, were no longer acceptable. He grew weary of the world, which seemed to him an unweeded garden, where all the wholesome flowers were choked up and nothing but weeds could thrive. Not that the prospect of exclusion from the throne, his lawful inheritance, weighed so much upon his spirits, though that, to a young and high-minded prince, was a bitter wound and a sore indignity. But what so galled him and took away all his cheerful spirits was that his mother had shown herself so forgetful to his father's memory, and such a father, who had been to her so loving and so gentle a husband. And then she was always appearing as loving and obedient a wife to him, and would hang upon him as if her affection grew to him. And now, within 2 months, or as it seemed to young Hamlet, less than 2 months, she had married again, married his uncle, her dear husband's brother, in itself a highly improper and unlawful marriage, from the nearness of relationship, but made much more so by the indecent haste with which it was concluded, and the unkingly character of the man whom she had chosen to be the partner of her throne and bed. This it was which more than the loss of 10 kingdoms dashed the spirits and brought a cloud over the mind of this honourable young prince. In vain was all that his mother Gertrude or the king could do to contrive to divert him. He still appeared in court in a suit of deep black, as mourning for the king his father's death, which mode of dress he had never laid aside, not even in compliment to his mother upon the day she was married, nor could he be brought to join in any of the festivities or rejoicings of that, as appeared to him, disgraceful day. What mostly troubled him was an uncertainty about the manner of his father's death. It was given out by Claudius that a serpent had stung him, but young Hamlet had shrewd suspicions that Claudius himself was the serpent. In plain English, that he had murdered him for his crown.